Much is made in this country about the U.S. Constitution. Politicians at various levels of government swear to uphold or defend the Constitution when they take office. It is often considered a bulwark of democracy. But author and journalist Dan Lazard doesn't share that view. He spoke with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg.
The U.S. Constitution, you've been studying that. I wonder how much inspiration do you get from the work of Charles Beard, if any at all?
I don't like Beard.
And why is that?
I can't stand Beard. I think he's an economic reductionist. He reduces,
not seeing the whole picture, okay.
Yeah, he reduces the whole thing to a very simple-minded concept of the profit drive. And, you know, profits are important, certainly, but you can't reduce it to something as simple as that. The founding was a very complex event. It's very complicated and requires a lot of thought and analysis to understand.
Although some would say he's not as much of an economic determinist as some people think, but maybe that's another subject. What in your mind is wrong with the U.S. Constitution? Do you oppose it because it kind of holds back progress, the real progress you'd like to see?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are many things wrong about it. It's not very democratic. It essentially allows minorities, well-placed minorities, to tyrannize the democratic majority. But the most important thing that's bad is the amending clause, which, as you know from your high school days, says that any amendment must be approved by 2/3 of each house plus 3/4 of the states. And the 3/4 requirement means that 13 states can block any amendment, and that 13 states can account for as little as 4.4% of the U.S. population. So as a result, the document in this day and age is essentially unchangeable, which means that we are permanently locked into an 18th century plan of government, which is extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary. It'll take you a while to wrap your mind around that concept. We're a modern society. You and I are talking via the internet, and yet we are governed by a plan of government that dates from the age of slavery, powdered wigs, silk knee breeches, and the quill pen.
But people will defend the Constitution, saying that this protects our democracy, although I suspect they're really thinking of the Bill of Rights part more than the articles.
Yes, I mean, the Constitution has come down to us as a kind of a charter of liberties. People view it the way Christians viewed the Bible in the Middle Ages. It's the good book.
And people even take an oath to protect the Constitution.
Right. But if you ever read the Bible, you'll know that it's fascinating, but a good book, it ain't. And if you ever read the Constitution, rather than accepting it on faith, you'll see that it's filled with all kinds of totally perplexing and totally undemocratic provisions. I mean, a Senate based on equal state representation, which means that Wyoming, Lily White Wyoming, has the same number of votes as minority majority California, which has 68 times its population.
And is it true that the Senate is the only institution in the Constitution that can't be abolished?
Yeah, Article 5 is the amending clause, and Article 5 ends with a clause saying that no state shall be deprived of its equal representation in the Senate without its consent, meaning that if you want to change equal representation, you need the consent of all 50 states, which is impossible. And so, therefore, it's unchangeable.
Is that a throwback to the Roman Republic?
Well, the whole thing is a throwback to the Roman Republic. It's a throwback to the Vatican and the College of Cardinals. It's a throwback to late medieval republics, you know, which were ruled by very complicated, you know, arrangements in which there was, you know, voting figured, but voting was, you know, was complicated, roundabout, staggered, etc. So the U.S. Constitution is much closer to those political formations than it is to a modern democracy.
So Donald Trump has made statements suggesting he would shred the Constitution, and people are fearful of that. What do you make of his comments?
The thing is that the Constitution has given us Trump. That's the important thing. I mean, liberals say, liberals, uphold the Constitution against Trump. But the reality is quite the opposite. The Constitution has given us Trump. I mean, first of all, it gave us an all-powerful presidency, but it also gave us a system of checks and balances, which has completely broken down, leading to a utter paralysis on Capitol Hill and a very dangerous buildup of political tensions, which is, unresolvable. It also gave us the Electoral College, which in 2016 gave us Donald Trump, despite the fact that he lost by 2.9 million popular votes. In 2020, it nearly gave us Donald Trump because the electoral machinery as outlined and the 12th Amendment is fiendishly complicated and can be easily hijacked, as Trump nearly succeeded in doing. So the Constitution is not the antidote to Trump. The Constitution is the facilitator of Trump.
What would you like to see happen to the Constitution?
First of all, number one, there's been a dramatic increase in number of books recently calling the U.S. Constitution into question. It was formerly the Holy of Holies, but now suddenly, over the last 12 months, it seems that every law professor in the country, wants to write a book taking a knock at the Constitution. And the traditional remedy is a constitutional convention. But the trouble with the constitutional convention is that, according to Article 5, whatever it comes up with must be approved by 3/4 of the states as well, which means that 13 states can veto whatever it recommends. So we're in the same old bind, where 4.4% of the population can essentially veto the other 95.6. What I call for is something very different. I call for a constituent assembly, such as they had in Paris in 1789. A constituent assembly would be called not under Article 5, but under the preamble. The preamble, as you know, is "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, et cetera, do ordain and establish this Constitution." And what it doesn't say, but what it plainly implies, is that we the people can also overthrow the existing Constitution, which was the Articles of Confederation, which were still in effect when the Constitution was drafted and ratified, and which the Constitution overthrew contrary to the rules of the Articles, because the Articles said that they could only be changed with the unanimous approval of all 13 states. And the Constitution said, no, this Constitution will go into effect when approved by just 9. Anyway, a constituent assembly is an assembly of the constitutional power, we the people, coming together not as residents of the various states, but simply as the people as a whole, voting democratically on a basis of strict majoritarianism on whether to revise the existing Constitution or whether to toss it out and start all over. But democratic majoritarianism means that whether you like or dislike the Second Amendment, for example, you put it up for a majority vote. You don't repeal it via the 2/3, 3/4 process. You repeal it via the 51% process. So you say, I have a resolution. I offer a resolution to remove the Second Amendment. All in favor say aye. And if 51% votes aye, out it goes.
Wouldn't the fear there be that people could do that for civil rights legislation? And
absolutely, yes. That is a terrifying prospect. But what's even more terrifying is the status quo. I mean, you're standing on a window ledge in a building that's on fire. You've got flames behind you and several stories of open space in front of you. So what do you do? One is you'll be burned to a crisp, and the other you have at least a fighting chance of making it out alive. But the point is I think a democratic process, a constituent assembly would be a democratic process, and I am quite confident it would lead to a democratic constitution.
So would this be via electronic media so everyone could participate?
No.
Would it be delegates? sent to
delegates. You have a national election. You have voting by list. You know what that means? It means, in other words, you have parties offer themselves to vote, and seats in the assembly are allocated according to each party's share of the vote, as closely as you can do it. And so you have elections, and you have a socialist party and a conservative party and a liberal party and a feminist party and a green party, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they are given seats, and their job is to essentially govern the country in the short term and to draft the constitution.
That would upset the whole foreign policy establishment and every other establishment.
It's a revolution, but it's a democratic revolution. And I'm also quite confident it would be a socialist revolution as well, because by that point, the social tensions have reached the point that they would express themselves in a revolutionary way. The current constitution is of, by, and for the rich. It allows the interests of the working class to be ground into dust. And the only force capable...
Although you could still pass legislation in favor of working class people.
No, you can't.
You can't.
You can't.
The right to organize, for example.
In reality, you can't. In reality, anything that passes, that makes it through the meat grinder on Capitol Hill, is going to be in favor of the rich because they control Congress.
But it seems like there's legislation that has been passed that protects consumers and workers and the environment and all that.
Only by accident. No, I mean, I'm serious. I mean, yeah, yes. I mean, not everything that comes out of Congress is bad. Some progressive legislation has been passed. I'd be foolish to deny that. But the fact is that in general, such progressive acts are surrounded by, are outweighed by reactionary legislation. And there's no doubt that the political edifice that has arisen over the decades radically favors the rich, the capitalist class, the ruling class.
And anything else you want to add to what you said?
No, I mean, I think America is in America is reached a dead end. And I think that, and it's funny, I wrote my book, The Frozen Republic, in 1996. And I actually got laughed at. And on one show, some guy laughed at me. And when I said that America had reached a dead end, they said, oh, that's crazy. That's an exaggeration. That's silly. You're obviously a nut. You obviously are a marginal character who is embittered by his own marginalization, et cetera.
Rather than a visionary.
Right. But 25 years later, it is completely different. I mean, what I'm saying has become mainstream. People realize that America is in serious trouble.
And, although they don't pinpoint the Constitution as
well, but there's actually, I mean, the current New Yorker magazine, which is as mainstream as you get, has an article entitled Torch the Constitution, a review of a new book by Erwin Chemerinsky, who is the dean of the Berkeley Law School. And that's as establishment as you get as well. So I'm not saying that the establishment has gone socialist on us, but I'm saying that even people in these high places recognize that the country's at an impasse.
You think a parliamentary system would work better or something else?
I think democracy would work better. I think we need democracy. I think the country is crying out desperately for democracy. And that means a democracy which is empowered to do whatever it thinks it needs to do in order to improve, in order to raise up society and improve the condition of the democratic majority.
What do you think of this was an idea among some socialists that industrial representation or job-based representation should take the place of geographic representation?
That's the theory of the Soviet, essentially. By the way, I don't believe in geographical representation. I believe in party representation. If a socialist party, gets millions of votes, it doesn't matter whether those votes come from Los Angeles or New York or Podunk, USA. They're all aggregated as one. So there isn't a New York representative or a Los Angeles representative. There simply is a party representative.
And, well, the geographic representation is supposed to be for the purpose of making sure that area is taken care of, right?
Well, yes. I think that any democratic government, any democratic socialist government, would want to make sure that, you know, that cities are well cared for, people are well cared for, well governed, democratically governed throughout the country. But there wouldn't specifically be a California representative or a New York representative or a Virginia representative.
That's author and journalist Dan Lazar speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on October 14th, 2024.